All right, well, thanks, Brent, for leading us in that, and Christopher for leading us this morning along with the team. It's just a joy every week to gather together to worship the Lord and sense his presence and his nearness. Well, this morning we're going to continue through. We are just about through the letter of 1 Peter as we've been working through that. And so if you're visiting with us or you haven't been with us for the past few months and are just catching back up with us, that's where we've been, and we're coming around here to the end of that study through. And our desire as we've been working throughout this study is for us in these days to find encouragement for our walks with the Lord in the midst of some challenging days and in these times that we're journeying through. Throughout this letter, Paul has been writing to some believers who are facing persecution in their own lives, and they're facing trials of various kinds for their faith. And Peter has reminded them over and over throughout this letter that in the midst of whatever that they are journeying through, to keep on going, to stand firm in their faith because of the hope that they have in Jesus. He's reminded them in the very first chapter as he gets going on, he reminds them, guys, there is this unspeakable joy that you have because of the salvation that you know in Jesus. And so keep on going and look forward to his return. And in light of all these truths and in light of all of these realities, in the midst of whatever suffering you experience, and just in chapter 4, he's bringing it up again. He's like, you've experienced suffering thus far, but there may be and there is going to be even greater trials coming your way. He's encouraging them to keep on standing firm in the midst of that. Keep trusting him and keep living in obedience to him. Last week, we ended with Peter's encouragement to these believers in verse 19, where he said this. He said, therefore, let those of you who suffer according to God's will entrust your souls, their souls, to a faithful Creator while doing good. And so this morning, as we come into chapter 5, Peter now turns to and he addresses the leaders who are in their midst with some direction and encouragement on how they ought to lead. And so as just spending time with this, it seemed like it's a fitting passage for us in these days. As there's been a whole lot of talk about leadership. There's been a talk about leadership successes, leadership failures, leadership issues on all kinds of different levels as leaders during these days are facing various crises. As a country, just this week, we've witnessed the transition from one leader to another. And so I want to encourage us to be praying for our president, be praying for our leaders, our country's leadership. In Paul's letter to Timothy in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he writes this. I know we're familiar with it, but just to be reminded of us, especially at this time. First of all, then, he writes, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And then he keeps on going, but there's like 3 ways here. In the next verse, there's 4 ways that he encourages us to be praying. He says here right off the gate, right out of the bat there, so let's pray for all people. And so, church family, let's be praying for our country. Let's be praying for our country at this time. He says, let's pray for those in high positions. Let's pray for President Biden. Let's pray for Vice President Harris and for those in their administration. Let's pray that God would bless their efforts in all the ways that are pleasing to him. And that we would pray that even that God would stay their hands in all those policies and ways that maybe they don't align to his will. We want to pray for God's will to be done here. And let's pray for peace. Let's pray for our leaders that they would lead in such a way that would preserve peace here in our nation and in the world in the days to come. And then as he just continues on there in verses 3 and 4, let's pray ultimately and most importantly that people would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we're talking about leaders here. That's where we're going to start here as we are in 1 Peter chapter 5 in these first few verses. And we know leaders are those who lead, and as you look at organizations, families, businesses, leadership is an important thing because where leaders go, so often goes the entity of which they're giving leadership to. in regards to maybe reputation, in regards to perspective, in regards to what you're passionate about, in regards to attitude, behavior, all kinds of things. Today's some football games, and if you have a dad or who is a Packers fan, it's probably a kid that's a Packers fan. Or who else is playing today? The Bills. I can't even say the four teams. There's the Packers and the Buccaneers, and the Bills are playing the Chiefs. Yeah. So you give me whoever it is that's rooting for whoever. You probably got some kids that are rooting for the same team, kind of thing. That's leadership, and so it's so important. And then the church, it's no different. Peter, he now turns to the issue of leadership in the church for a moment. And so it's really important for us, as we are a church, to have a biblical understanding in regards to what leadership in the church should look like. There's all kinds of leaders, and probably at some level, in some way, you are a leader in the church. Maybe it's the board of administration. There's ministry leaders, there's small group leaders, there's teachers, there's all these things. And then it goes the whole way down into the family unit, where you're a leader in your family and shepherding and caring for them as a parent. And so there's leadership, just to name a few. And as is the case in our time, it was similar in the days as to when Peter is writing to them. And we live in a culture where leadership can be viewed in all kinds of ways. Two ways, at least, in which it can be viewed negatively is that it could be looked at as leadership as something to be looked down upon. Some see it as that which is limiting freedoms and ends up being something that there is, that leadership is just that which is to be pushed back against or someone to disagree with. Maybe it's even seen as something that you don't want to ever be a part of that. Or maybe it's for the power hungry. The leadership is sought after because with it comes authority, with it comes power, with it comes recognition and money. Maybe there's this idea of that. And so for us as a church that desires to be about making known the gospel and being obedient to God's word, it's important for us to know what Scripture has to say in regards to this topic of leadership and how it should be characterized in the church. And then also, then how should the church then respond to its leaders? And so maybe you're in that role this morning, and maybe you're not in that role, and someday you're probably going to be in that role. And either way, it's important for us to have a good understanding of what it ought to look like biblically. And so firstly, leaders are servants. We know that Jesus, the head of the church, had this to say about leadership in His kingdom. In Matthew chapter 20, he said this in verses 25 through 28. But Jesus called them to him, and he said, he's talking about his disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus' point here is, as he talks about leadership in his kingdom, is radically different than maybe than the culture of that day. He's saying leadership is not about lording power or exercising authority over people, but rather greatness is about servanthood. It's about serving others. And so when we look here at what Peter says, and we're just going to read these first five verses here in a moment, he shares with us, and he gives us some direction as what it's to look like. And so let's read that together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Right along with what Jesus has said already about that leadership is about servanthood and being servants, Peter says the following in verse 2 about how they should lead. He says, "Shepherd the flock that is among you. He's saying tend and care for it and love, lovingly serve them, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. He's saying don't lead out of a sense of duty because I have to, but because you want to. There is a great willingness for it. There is a great love and a care and concern for it. Leadership in the church, it's not that which is done out of a sense of having to, but it's out of a or recognition or greed, but there is this eagerness to serve. And so if you're in this role or leaders, question is this, let's be careful with this and know that it's not about us, but it is about putting all the focus on Jesus, and it is all about serving his people with joy and love. It's not easy, and no leader ever has it perfect or all together. We're all sinners saved by grace. But don't take advantage of your role as a leader to take advantage. He's saying be careful. Don't do that. And the most important thing that we need to remember here that as we start out is that leadership is about being a servant. But not only that, as we continue on, leaders are examples. Verse 3 goes on to say that we should lead by not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Once again, he's making the same point that Jesus makes here. It's so easy at times to lead out of position or title or because I say so. But we see that all around us in culture, but both Jesus and Peter here say, don't lead out of a desire to be in control or for personal gain, but shepherd, care, and lead out of influence and of love. That's what Jesus did. And as we look, he gives us an example in himself. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, we're given a list of qualities that leaders should have, not that all members shouldn't have these qualities, but leaders in the church absolutely should be characterized in this way. And so leaders, let's model the mission of helping people find and follow Jesus in our lives. Gene Wilkes, in his book, Jesus on Leadership, he writes this. He said, you will lead others as you model what you teach. If all you have to offer are words, few people will follow you. Your example will give them a picture of what you are talking about. And so as leaders, are you giving those whom you are leading a picture by your life through your example? Leaders are expected to be examples worth imitating of Christ's life. Leaders, is your life exemplary? Just consider that. Is your life worth imitating? And then verse 4, he continues on, and he makes it clear that there is a chief shepherd, and this is really important. Leaders are under authority. There is a chief shepherd, his name is Jesus, and he's coming back. And we look forward to that day, but leaders know that we are not on our own here. Jesus is the head of the church, we need to stay close to him, and we got to remember that he loves his church way more than we could ever. Not only do we serve the people that he has entrusted to us, but we ultimately and most importantly serve him. And so leaders, are you staying close to him? Are you spending time close to the Savior? Are you listening to what he has to say so that you have something to say worth hearing? Are you holding on to the word of truth? So summing this all up, leadership in the church is about servanthood. It's leading by example, not in a forceful, domineering way. It's leading out of love and care. It's all under the leadership and the authority of the chief shepherd, who is Jesus. And as I have been able to have the privilege to be a part of what God has been doing here over the past 23 years, is that right? It's been a while, but as I've just had the joy to be a part of what God's doing here in the church family. And I know that you've witnessed this and you've experienced this, but through the years to have leaders, I can say that this is true of, who have pursued knowing Christ more than anything and done the best as they could do to humbly follow after the Lord and to serve out of love for for the church family. What a joy and a gift that has been. And so I want to encourage us all to keep our eyes on Jesus, because while that's the case, whether you've served or are serving in the role, in some leadership role, I want to encourage you to be careful, because just a few verses later here, what does he say in verse 8? Just look at verse 8. Peter reminds them that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's seeking someone to devour, and so none of us are immune to that, and so be careful. Stakes are high. And so on the one side, that's what leadership in the church should be characterized, what it should look like. But what about the relationship between the leaders and the church, and what should that look like, and how's that supposed to be characterized? Peter says that humility is what that should look like in verse 5. Put on humility. It doesn't matter whether you're a leader or if you're not a leader. He's saying all of you. He was talking to the leaders. Now he's talking to everybody, all of you. Put on humility. Have an attitude which puts others first, which thinks of the desires, the needs, and the ideas of others as more worthy of attention than your own. Once again, that's what Jesus did, right? As we look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, we know this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul encourages them there, do nothing out of selfish conceit, but in humility count others better than, more important than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Need some motivation for doing this, because what does he say there? God opposes the proud, and so don't be proud. But be humble. You want God to oppose you? Go for pride. And so let's be careful in that. Pride can take a church down. It doesn't even have to be a church. It'll take a person down. Proverbs 16:18, we know this verse. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. And so the most important qualities that a leader can demonstrate, it's not about how smart one is, about how intelligent they are, or how much you know. It's not about having some charismatic personality or being some great speaker necessarily. It's not about how hard a worker is or how compelling of a vision that there is out there. It's not even about how skilled or gifted you are. Not that all of those things aren't helpful. But what is most important in the life of the church leader is that they're people of integrity. And so be careful. Let's pursue these things. And so leaders, and I can fit all of us in that category in some way. Are you an example? Are you going to lead people? If you're going to lead people to Christ-likeness, your life must be a pattern of godly behavior for his people to follow. How's your moral life? How's your home life? How's your spiritual life? How's your reputation? Are you staying close to Jesus? And so one more passage in closing on this. The writer of Hebrews, he instructs us on how to respond to our leaders. He says, remember your leaders. Imitate their faith. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 17 and 18. If you look back there, it's talking about obeying your leaders, submitting to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And then he says, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then he asks them to pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. And so I just ask you to be praying for your leaders. Pray for me. Pray for our families. Pray for protection. Pray for our physical and mental health. Pray for us to stay close to Jesus. Pray for us to have clear consciences. Pray for wisdom, for the constant filling of the Holy Spirit and all these things. And this morning, just as we talk about issue of leadership and really thinking back to the past year, you notice in the bulletin, or maybe as you came in that today, we wanted to just take a little bit of time and to celebrate some of the things that God has done. And either you can pick a report up in the back. Here, Christian, can you put that slide up that has about the congregational meeting part. Up there, if you go to devonshirechurch.org, I encourage you to go and either pick one of these up at the back in the narthex, or if you're at home, you can go to devonshirechurch.org/report and just see it there, or even on your phone now. We wanted to take some time and celebrate some of the things that God has done over the past year in as for us as a church family. And to help us do that, we made this little video just to think back through. While in many ways it was a challenging year, you know, and there is much that didn't happen that we planned on or looked forward to, there were so many ways that we had opportunities to see God working and to be a part of what he was doing. And so here's just a recap of some pictures of things that did happen through the year. And to some of the things that we were able to do last year, and what a joy it was to be able to continue to just worship the Lord throughout the year. Jesus is the focus of everything, and he's everything to us. And so if you want to, I encourage you to grab one of these back at the table in the back and just read through it, because there's a lot. And I want to just take a moment and... Boy, last year it was one of those things where one Sunday we're meeting and the next Sunday videos are going up all over the place and for church, and then we do that for a number of months, and then finally we just are able to work our way back into meeting and with some changes and adjustments being made. And so not going to really have each of our leaders come up and share a little bit. I'll let you read through the report, but I do want to mention who they are. Lay leader Brent, he leads us. He often, if you don't know who Brent is, he's the guy who gives us the announcements a lot of times and does an awesome job with that. And occasionally preaches here. Eric Proctor, he serves as leading our children's ministry. And just in regards to that, as I think back to the year, just the faithfulness of those who are serving in the nursery and children's church on a weekly basis. I think of Juanita last year. Man, Juanita, she came out and she was putting videos out on a weekly basis for our preschoolers and just letting those be out there so that they could be washed and encouraged and even fixed up the room too and made it more a better environment for the kids. So that it was ready whenever they came back. Youth ministry, Bob Amel gives leadership to that with his team, and they're meeting weekly on Sunday nights and having a great time. And every time I hear him talk about that, he's just overjoyed with how he sees God working in these days right now with that. Adult ministry, we had groups meeting online and prayer meetings online, and we just did all kinds of have done plenty of things in that way. Our men's study, women's studies, they continued on. And it's amazing, isn't it, how you can adapt whenever you need to. And the church has done exactly that throughout these days. And then Amy, let's see who's next on this. Jen McMurray, she's leading the preschool. And you can just imagine all the things and decisions she had to make in working through just how that all was going to continue on. And Betsy and the other teachers just doing an awesome job in loving and caring and sharing the hope of Jesus and the love of Jesus with the kids and the families. It has been so good just how he's worked. And then you get to read about down the list of all the ways through our just different outreaches and the ways that God worked. There was, you know, someone had the idea of like, hey, I'll donate a bunch of meat. And if there's people in the community that could be blessed by that and encouraged during the time, not knowing what was coming and the uncertainty and just the opportunity to go out and be a blessing in that. The gift basket is hitting 44 families with that around our community, and then I'll share a little bit more next week, just an update on the nursing, just the way that we tried to and encourage the nursing home residents and workers. Like, they were so blessed by that the other week, and so thanks for being a part of that. There's just so many ways that the church was faithful to be about what we're called to be faithful to, and Christopher's here. It's the one thing that you won't read in the report is an update on the House Church, United House Church, that Christopher is leading. And Christopher, you mind just standing and just sharing a quick thing about how church is going? Okay, cool. Yeah, here's one. There you got that. There you go.
Yeah, just a quick overview. 2020, like everything else, went pretty unexpectedly, which can make for a relatively difficult context to be, you know, actively reaching our neighbors who are kind of isolated inside. But throughout the summer, we masked up and decided to do like an adopt-a-block type of thing. And so all summer long, we were spending 3 nights just kind of going door-to-door, knocking on doors, just saying like, hey, do you know that there's an opportunity for you to have a relationship with God? And some of, like, to you, that might sound a little cringy. I was skeptical myself, just what is people's willingness going to look like? And we found that a lot of people kind of like walked outside, shut the door behind them, sat down on their stoop and said, what do you have for me? You know, so we were encouraged by that. We feel like the Lord's been really faithful to us over the last year. Enter into the fall, we're kind of like reworking some things with our core team, some people transitioning out and kind of just looking forward and using a lot of the time that we spent over the summer to just do more one-on-one type of discipleship. We probably knocked on 500 doors. We knocked on a lot of doors and talked with a lot of people. And so now we have the opportunity to just continue to follow up. So that's what we've been doing. We've done a lot with the kids in the neighborhood. We started doing a neighborhood barbecue, and we were talking with people, and they're like, oh, we'll send our kids down. We're like, this is for everybody, but okay, we'll take your kids. So we kind of just like were thrown into a kids ministry, and so we spent a lot of time with the kids in the neighborhood, feeding them, teaching Bible stories to the kids in the neighborhood. So it's been good, unexpected, but the Lord's been faithful.
Awesome. Thanks, Christopher. So keep on praying for Christopher and his team there as they are, just desiring to reach the Midtown area of Harrisburg there through that ministry. I want to invite Butch, would you come just to give an update in regards to our finances as Butch leads that? Here you go.
So, it's amazing over and over again how I can see God working through our church and our finances. 2020 was definitely a challenging year. You can expect financially it hit us as well, and it did. Our income was below what we had anticipated, below budget. But because it was such an unusual year, our spending was below budget too. And the net effect was we ended up bringing in $46,000 more than what we spent for the year. We ended the year better financially than what we started the year. On a year like this, that's amazing. On top of that, the government was helping. We were able to apply for a payroll protection loan of $65,000. That's a forgivable loan. We haven't finished all of the paperwork yet to get that completely cleared up, but we anticipate that to be done. The bank is confident that we will be forgiven. That'll be an extra $65,000 for us to be used for God's ministry. It's amazing. On top of that, we've reached our goal of $600,000 for the Into the Light campaign. We've surpassed it. That's the fundraising that was going towards the community center building. We had to take out the loan, a 20-year loan, and we've been paying extra on that loan based on extra contributions people have been giving, extra fundraising that we've been doing. We've taken a 20-year loan and reduced that down to 15 years at this point already in the short period of time that we've had the loan. God's been good, and financially, we are in a very strong position and look forward to an even better year this coming year.
Thanks. Yes. So yeah, over and over, I mean, the Lord has just been faithful. He's been so good to us, and we just want to thank him, and we want to praise him for that. And so we wanted to give a few of those updates to you. I know throughout the year we try to just keep things, keep you updated. But looking back on the year, the Lord has been good to us. And as we look forward to this coming year, there is still so much, right, that is uncertain as to how things go. But we want to be a church that is faithful to reaching our community and to encouraging us to just to know Christ more and to make him known. And so simply, you know, just yesterday as Brent and Butch and I were meeting, we were sitting there, and it's just a joy to be able to have a basketball league for kids going on in the community center and all the families coming through and just being able to minister to those families too. And in so many ways, and we're going to keep on doing that this year and being faithful to what God has called us to. And a few weeks ago, we were there in 1 Peter chapter 4, you know, starting around verse 7 and 9, and it talks about there, he says, the end is near, and so do these things. And he talks about praying, and he talks about loving earnestly, praying earnestly, loving deeply, and serving. And if there's three things that we want to come around this year, it's those things. We want to be a people of prayer, a people who love, and a people who serve. And so maybe over this past year, there's been a lot of ways where maybe we've just backed off a little bit, in a sense, just because we're not sure how to engage with each other, or, you know, trying to keep some safe distance and those kind of things. As the year goes on, we pray and we expect and hope things can open up a little bit more, but let's engage. Let's serve. Let's get in the game in all these ways, and loving and spurring on one another to love and good deeds, as we've been called to do. No need to. We've all got a phone, right? We can use it and give a call, check in with each other, and for His glory. So I want to invite Brent to come and just close our time together this morning, and leading us as in our church family as the lay leader in prayer in these ways.
Let's pray. Lord, Father, as we come to you today, we come to you with hearts full of gratitude. Lord, thank you for what you've done in our own lives, Lord, personally, for coming, for rescuing us, for forgiving us of our sins, Lord, for pursuing us and wanting to have a relationship with us, Lord, and for treating us so mercifully. And with so much love and so much compassion, God, we're overwhelmingly thankful for what you've done in our lives personally. God, and as a corporate body in this current year, Lord, for the ways that you have worked through Devonshire and worked through the Christian church to be a light in an increasingly dark world, Lord, for the ways that you've spurred on our hearts individually and in groups to reach out to those around us. Lord, the ways that you've allowed us to bless and to serve our neighbors and our friends and our community, Lord, and strangers, Lord, in ministries and individually. Lord, we thank you, and we're filled with love and with gratitude for the ways that you're allowing us to join you in your ministry. And Lord, as we look forward to the coming year, as we look forward to 2021, we pray that you would burden our hearts, that you would give us eyes to see the people around us and the opportunities to love, Lord, for ways that we can serve the people around us, to show a tiny piece of the grace and mercy that you've shown to us. Lord, we take all of our plans and all of our hopes for the coming year, anything that we would like to do, God, or that we wish that we could do, we lay that in front of you. We ask that you would bless those that you would see fruitful, and that you would encourage us and to be willing participants in the ways that you will bring to light. So we just ask these things in your name. Amen.